Nice to have a good friend with us on Sports Byline, a man that I've known for a long time, I've admired for even longer, Jamal Wilkes, the Hall of Fame small forward who played in the NBA for 12 years with Golden State, the Lakers, and the Clippers, and a very successful player on the court as well, winning four NBA championships, one with the Golden State Warriors as a rookie, and then three with the Lakers. And he was the 11th pick in the 74 NBA draft, NBA Rookie of the Year, and he has written a wonderful book that I hope you'll check out, because he did it in his own voice and in his own way. It's called Jamal Wilkes, Memoirs of the Original Smooth as Silk. How hard was it for you to write this book, Jamal? Because when you start looking into your life, start reflecting, it's always a challenge to think, well, do I talk about this and to have an understanding for it. And yet you can only have an understanding of some of the things in your life when you get away from it for a number of years.
Exactly, Ron. At first, I started dabbling with it in the late 80s, early 90s, and I struggled with it. It was hard to decide what to talk about, what not to talk about, getting organized. And then my wife and I had our young children, so life got in the way. But a few years ago, I picked it up again, and at first it was a little difficult, but once I got going, it was so therapeutic, and just thinking through what happened and how it happened and the way it happened. And I actually wrote this book for the fans to try and give back some of the love that they've given me over the years, because many of them would ask me about how did I get my nickname Silk and my jump shot and this and that. And what's Coach Wooden? I get a lot of, probably the number one question I get is about Coach Wooden, believe it or not. And then, of course, I get asked about, you know, the Warriors, Rick Barry, Magic, Kareem, and guys I played against. But once I got in the flow, I really enjoyed the process. And I told it in my words and in my way, and I'm really proud of it, and I hope that your listeners will check it out and read it. It's a good read for Father's Day or graduation.
Was the reflection of your life one in which you smiled, laughed, and also shook your head sometimes?
Oh, absolutely, Ron. I mean, you know, and then I incorporated some personal things that, and that was tough. What do I incorporate? What don't I? But I tried to pick things that had meaning to who I am today. And it was a very, very interesting process. And the editing, I mean, you can edit forever. I mean, you can always keep revising it. But I'm proud of it, and I'm satisfied that with the book as it turned out, Ron.
Everything starts at the beginning with the family. And in your particular case, you had a very strong family. Your dad was a pastor. Your mother was the first lady. Tell me a little bit about the home, what it was like and how it molded you as a person.
Well, it was very disciplined. And there were two house rules. One, respect our mother, and two, be in church. And, you know, at times it got a little cumbersome, you know, because I'm a young kid, like most young kids, and get easily distracted and so forth and so on. But it was really kind of cool, because as we got older, you know, my dad loosened the reins, and he encouraged us to explore things and think for ourselves and so forth and so on. So I didn't have a problem playing basketball on Sundays, because I taught Sunday school and I was at church and so forth. But I'm really glad now, 60 years old plus, and looking back, of their influence on me, and the fact that they really encouraged education. There were a lot of teachers on both sides of my mom and dad's families, and they were really strict about that, to the point that, you know, we wouldn't have, playing sports or music was a privilege, not a right. We weren't entitled to it. It was a privilege. And so I respected that, and hopefully I passed on a little of that to our children. But it was really, and we grew up in a little town, so everyone in the neighborhood knew everyone, and the neighbors all watched out for each other. So if you got in trouble at school, chances were your mom knew about it before you got home. So it was kind of a village thing, and so it really made a very positive impression upon me.
Jackie Joyner Kiersey once said to me, I never worried about getting in trouble with the police because I know I'd be punished more by my parents than I would by the police.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What was it like from a societal standpoint? Because back then, society was a lot different. You're an African-American. I suppose, in a sense, it was good that you grew up in a small town because the prejudices may not have been as big and cumbersome as they might have been in a larger urban area.
You're absolutely right, Ron. I mean, there was prejudice because that was the times. But if you worked hard and stayed out of trouble, people eventually accepted you. And so I think growing up in a small town in California especially was a good thing. I never experienced the, you know, colored fountain and the white fountain and the colored bathroom and the white bathroom. But it was the tail end of all that. And as a matter of fact, my mother was from Arkansas. She just hated the South. I mean, she had no use for it. She didn't want us to have anything to do with it. So there was still a carryover from that era, but fortunately, I never had to confront it head on. Once in a while, a little name calling, but you know, you never knew who called you the name, so it was anonymous. But I was fortunate that I missed the hardcore brunt of that, as I probably would have got in an urban area, a larger urban city.
Yeah, I do know that because you were in California, that helped out a little bit as well, because it was not like being in other parts of the country. I know Joe Morgan said to me that when he started playing baseball, he got signed and went to the Durham Bulls. And he almost quit baseball because he saw all the black people sitting in one part of the stands. And that wasn't what he was used to. And another great story told me by Jimmy Johnson, NFL Hall of Famer. They moved from Texas to a little town down in the valley here in California. And he said, I had no problems at all. They accepted us because it was a Scandinavian city, little city with families from Scandinavia. They all thought we were Scandinavian because our name was Johnson.
That's funny. that's a great story.
When did basketball come into your life?
It came into my life. I was about 8, 9 years old, and I was played. They had good youth programs. They had a youth basketball league, and the high school coach saw me playing, and he said, hey son, can you use your left hand? And as I talk in my book, which is available on amazon.com, we developed a lifelong friendship. He was a real gentleman, and his theory was, hey, if we won, you guys won it. If we lost, I lost it. And you know, not many coaches have that attitude. But I actually loved baseball growing up. My dad had briefly played minor leagues in the Negro Leagues, and he would enjoy taking my brother and I and pitching and coaching us on pitching. We would have batting practice against him, and he would just laugh. You know, we'd throw us these wild curveballs and all these different things, and he would just get a big kick out of seeing us confused and baffled out of it. So I started Little League, and I was a tall boy growing up, and I really loved baseball. And so going into high school, I had a choice to make. I could go to my last year of Babe Ruth, and the next step would be Pony League, and then the next step would be, you know, the minors, or the high school coach, basketball coach said, hey, you've got a chance to help us out a lot your sophomore year. And that was unheard of at this school. No one played varsity basketball as a sophomore. And you could probably even start, maybe. But you have to spend the summer in the gym. And, oh, God, I hate it. You know, I hated lifting weights. And I was like 140 pounds. Now, my nickname in high school was different from Silk. It was Spider because I was so tall and gangly and so forth and so on. But I took the challenge. I gave up baseball to have the opportunity to really play my first year of high school varsity and possibly even start varsity. The rest is history.
When did you really think that you could be successful at basketball? When did you say, I'm going to be serious about this game?
It really was until after our sophomore year at UCLA when we won the championship. Bill Walton, the Hall of Famer, who I love dearly, was in my class, and Greg Lee. There were 6 high school All-Americans, and we were following the Sidney Wicks, Curtis Rowe, Steve Patterson championship teams, and there were a lot of questions of could we carry on the tradition. And so winning the championship that year happened to be in Los Angeles too. We beat Florida State. I really began to feel like I'm pretty good. I could maybe have a career at this. And I began to take it even more serious beyond just trying to play for Coach Wooden and please Coach Wooden and carry on the tradition, I began to think in terms of I could have a pro career at this.
We're talking basketball with a man who's in the Hall of Fame, small forward for the Golden State Warriors, where he won a championship as a rookie, and then, of course, won three more championships playing with the Lakers, also played with the Clippers as well. We're going to talk a little bit more about his days at UCLA and the first time he ever met John Wooden. As we continue across the country and around the world, we've got you on America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline.